The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, it is officially football season, and we have us a whole onslaught of football to fucking talk about. It was a great start to the season as well with these first two games. So let's start off with Wednesday night, the season opener. We had the New England Patriots at the Seattle Seahawks, and it looked like New England was just going to completely dominate this game. On the first drive, Sam Darnold, he got injured. First freaking drive, dude, he limps out and turns out he has some type of hip injury. Luckily for the team, it looks like it's not going to be anything where he misses a whole lot of time. It looks like it's just going to be kind of like a week-to-week type thing. But especially when you're dealing with a hip, that's always an iffy thing. But to see him come right out and get injured right off the bat, it just kind of really took the wind out of the sails for the Seahawks on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, their defense was pretty much holding it down for quite some time there. This was a major defensive battle from start to finish. And then all of a sudden, Drake May, he starts throwing the interceptions like no other. And I got to say, this dude like single-handedly gave this game away. His three interceptions were terrible interceptions. They weren't those interceptions where it was like it bounced off somebody's hands and went into the defender's hands. They were like those type of interceptions where you're like looking at him and you're like, dude, aren't you an NFL quarterback? Did you not see that guy standing in front of the receiver? Like, they were those type of interceptions. And but then they were still in it. And the Seahawks did end up taking the lead at one point, 13-10. Also of note, another terrible injury that happened in this one. A.J. Brown, who just got traded to the New England Patriots. He was their kind of big offseason move. He injures his ankle, sprained ankle. He's actually been put on the IR. He's going to be out the next 4 weeks at least. So he's out of the game. But the Patriots are driving, and they get into field goal range. And I'm thinking to myself, just run the clock out. I'm even thinking, man, I can't believe we're going to start the season off with an overtime game, blah, 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 because the Patriots are in field goal range. All they have to do is just run the ball, let the clock run out, kick this field goal, send it into overtime, and see what happens there. Instead, and don't get me wrong, Drake May's interception was terrible, but I feel like this was terrible play calling as well, because like I said, just run the clock out, kick the field goal, send it into overtime. They didn't do that. Mr. Mike Vrabel decided, hey, I got big balls. I'm just going to go ahead and let's throw this ball. And what ends up happening is Drake May ends up throwing a game-sealing interception right to the Seahawks. Beautiful interception, too. One of those toe drag swags where he just, boop, gets his 2 feet in, and that was the end of it. JSN actually ended up having one of the big plays of the game for the Seahawks. He had 122 yards and a touchdown, really beautiful touchdown too, where he just like, oh, just kind of went right up the seam against everybody and then just ran it down the field to get the touchdown. But really solid game, really crazy way to start the season. Then on Thursday, had the first Australia game in Melbourne, San Francisco 49ers versus the Los Angeles Rams. And the big deal about this game was the Niners got to Australia about a week ago. So they had been adjusting to the time difference. The Rams ended up only heading towards Australia like two days before the game. And I just thought that was kind of weird because as a person, you know, I've never been to Australia, but I have been to Europe and I've been on long flights. And got to say, it doesn't matter what kind of plane it is, even if you have like the most beautiful bed and you've got all this stuff that you need from home. No, that flying that long sucks ass. And so I kind of felt like it was a mistake, and I don't really like to point out things like that as being a mistake, but I kind of feel like it looks like that was a mistake for the Rams to do. Either way, the Niners completely dominated this game. They got the win 27-7. Brock Purdy had a beautiful game. He went 25 for 34, 205 yards and 3 touchdowns. One of the touchdowns was to their new guy, Mike Evans, so big deal for them. But it was just absolute domination by the Niners yesterday. I mean, The Rams did not look good at all, offensively, defensively. It started off kind of a close game, but then the Niners just took it off from the second half and just never freaking looked back in this one. One thing I did want to touch on with this Australia game. So if you don't know, I usually hate all pomp and circumstance, traditional bullshit. Especially when I'm watching a sport, all I give two shits and a fuck about is what's going on the field. I don't care about halftime shows. I don't care about the national anthem. As a matter of fact, I think the national anthem's a crappy, boring song. So I've never cared about that shit. But I got something even worse than the national anthem to start yesterday's game, and that was this dumb fucking bitch who had like 12 names, and the beginning of it was Auntie. So I'm just going to call her Auntie Boring Fat Cunt. She comes waltzing out on stage with this crappy bouquet of plants that looks like she just grabbed them in the dumpster right before she headed into the fucking stadium. And then she starts lecturing us about some goddamn bullshit. I don't know what the fuck this dumb whore was talking about, but Jesus Christ, I couldn't beg for the national anthem more when this cunt was out here talking. I mean, Jesus Christ. If that's what we get from Australia every time, anytime we go there, please do not go back to Australia, because that bitch was so boring, she was so lame, she was so retarded, and I just cannot believe, like, I'm watching a football game, I don't need a lecture, I don't care about the land that this stadium is built on, I don't care about traditional cultural bullshit, I hate that shit, as a matter of fact, I don't care if it's from Australia, I don't care if it's from America, I don't care if it's from Africa, I hate all cultural bullshit, and if you think I want a fucking goddamn lecture from Auntie Boring Fat Cunt before a football game, suck my motherfucking dick. So if that's what we get when we're headed back to Australia, please, please don't go back, because if I have to hear another lecture from the bitch with the shitty junk can bouquet of garbage plants, I wanted to call it flowers, but it literally was like some garbage can plant. That was the stupidest shit. And she was also wearing fur. And I was so hoping, and I hate PETA. PETA are a bunch of horrific people who need to be hanged from fucking trees. But I was hoping PETA was just going to run out there and pour fucking animal blood on her, because she was so fucking boring. So if that's what I get going back to Australia, please, NFL, do not head back to Australia, because I do not want another lecture from Auntie Boring Fat Cunt. Oh, but anyways, let's get back to football, because that's what I really want to talk about. Anyway, so the rest of week one we have coming up here on Sunday. Also, getting back at it with the homie Simon Ruvalcaba, we're going to be doing our head-to-head pitch matchups again. He finally won last year after me 4 years of me kicking his ass in our head-to-head matchups here. He finally won last year, so he has to absolutely defend his title. We both had the Seahawks and the Rams, so we are both 1-1 heading into the weekend. But we have some crazy matchups. I mean, week one is always crazy. Actually, the first month of football is always crazy. You just never know who to pick. But week one is always crazy. You just don't know what the fuck you're going to get. I mean, like I said, yesterday's games and Wednesday's game, I mean, that could literally be the Seahawks and Niners' only wins of the season. And that has happened before. I think that happened to the Browns many moons ago. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if that happened to the Browns again this year. But anyways, let's get into the rest of week one and our Sunday matchups, beginning with the Atlanta Falcons at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right now, the Steelers are a 2.5-point favorite. It has been announced that Tua Tagovailoa is not going to be starting this game. So they're going to be having Cooper Rush, their third-string backup, start this game, because Michael Penix Jr. is still recovering from his ACL injury. And I already thought the Falcons were going to get their ass kicked in this one, and now I ultra think the Falcons are going to get their ass kicked in this one. I just kind of feel like the Steelers, they've got a really solid defense. They made some really nice moves in the offseason to shore up the offense a little bit. So I just kind of feel like the Pittsburgh Steelers are probably going to have a field day in this one and absolutely mollywop the Falcons. I've got them winning 41-13. Then we have the Baltimore Ravens at the Indianapolis Colts. Right now, the Ravens are a 3.5-point favorite. Both of these teams, I have no idea what I'm going to get from them. You know, the Ravens had a complete turnover. You know, they have a new coach. They have a new system in place. I mean, they still have a lot of talent. This defense is probably going to be stacked. And then, of course, the offense is stacked. You've got Lamar Jackson, and you've got Derrick Henry in the backfield. And you've got a couple of really solid receivers as well. So I just kind of feel like the Ravens, they should be a pretty decent team this year. The Colts, I don't know what the hell I'm going to get from them. I think they've got a pretty bad defense heading into this one. So I've got the Ravens winning this one 23-14. But like I said, it's week one. Anything can happen. Then we have the Buffalo Bills at the Houston Texans. Right now, the Bills are 1.5-point favorite. I will say, to me, this is one of those games where it's going to be like a weird game that probably has some weird turnovers. And I did pick a couple of games here where I'm just going with a random team because I know some random games are going to happen, and this is one. I know most people are probably leaning towards the Bills in this one, but I'm leaning towards the Texans. I just think it's going to be one of those defensive-led games, and I think the Texans have probably one of the best defenses heading into this offseason, heading into this regular season. They just are stacked to the brim with some of the greatest defenders in the league. And the Bills, I just don't know how I feel about the Bills. I think they're going to lose some really stupid games, and I wouldn't be shocked if this is one of them. I think it's going to be a close back-and-forth game. And like I said, I wanted to pick a random one in this one, so I'm going with the Texans in this one, 21-20. Then we have the Chicago Bears at the Carolina Panthers. Right now, the Bears are a 2.5-point favorite. I think the Bears heading into this season are going to be one of the top teams to beat. I feel like Caleb Williams is just going to excel in this offense even more. He looked like he really commanded the offense, especially towards the end of the season last year. And I kind of feel like the Bears are just going to take off into this season and head in the and just be another great team. Whereas the Panthers, I just don't know what we're going to get from them. They're just a crapshoot on the offensive side of the ball. Whereas the defensive side of the ball, I really think they're going to be a really good defensive team. It's just, let's see what we get from them on offense. But with that being said, I think the Bears are the better team, and I'm going to take the Bears 21-17. Then we have the Cleveland Browns at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right now, the Jaguars are a 7.5-point favorite, and to me, that sounds about right. Because I think the Browns are going to be the worst team in the league, which is not anything new from the Browns. I mean, that's probably what they're used to, being the worst team in the league. I mean, they have no talent at all. They are a garbage can team. They traded away their only good player they've had in a long-ass time in Myles Garrett. And then you've got the Jaguars, where they're another crapshoot team where you just don't know what you're going to get from them. But defensively, they're a really good team. It's just really, can they put it together offensively and be really consistent? This is a good team to start the season off against. I have the Jaguars winning big, 31-10. Then we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Cincinnati Bengals. Right now, the Bengals are a 3.5-point favorite. This is another game where I'm going off the wall. I think these are two pretty solid teams. I feel like the Bengals offensively going to be a really good team. It's just going to be their defense. I have a lot of questions about them on the defensive side of the ball. Tampa Bay, I don't have a lot of questions about them. I think they're a solid team. Offensively, they seem to look really good. And then defensively, they've always been a really good team. And I just kind of feel like this is going to be one of those games where it's back and forth offensively, but I just feel like the Buccaneers are going to get the better of the Bengals. I've got the Buccaneers winning a close one, 27-24. Then we have the New Orleans Saints at the Detroit Lions. Right now, the Lions are a 7.5-point favorite. I kind of feel like the Saints are going to be a terrible team this year. They don't have a lot of talent beyond Alvin Kamara, in my opinion. And I just don't, nothing about them really pops out to me. The Lions, to me, I don't think they're going to be one of the top teams in the NFC like they've been over the past couple of seasons. I kind of feel like their window has closed. But with that being said, though, I feel like they're going to open up a can of whoop-ass in this game. Like I said, I don't think the Saints are a very talented team. I still think the Lions have a lot of good players and a lot of talent, and they're going to be able to just roll over the Saints in this one 30-17. Then we have the New York Jets at the Tennessee Titans. Right now, the Titans are a 3.5-point favorite. This is a garbage can game. This is crap team versus crap team. And I'm really only leaning towards the Titans because they're at home. So I've got the Titans winning this one 17-10. Then we have the Arizona Cardinals at the Los Angeles Chargers. Right now, the Chargers are a 10.5-point favorite. And I mean, the Chargers, I kind of feel like this has to be a year where they actually take off. I feel like Justin Herbert has to have not like an MVP caliber season, but he has to just be the dude, and he has to consistently be the dude. The Cardinals, on the other hand, though, they are a garbage can team. They have a terrible-ass roster, and I don't know what the hell we're going to get from this team. So I kind of feel like this is a good start to the season for the Chargers, and I think they're going to dominate this one 28-7. Then we have the Green Bay Packers at the Minnesota Vikings. Right now, the Packers are a 1.5-point favorite. And nothing like starting off the season with a great division battle. This has always been a good matchup between two really solid teams, and you just never know what you're going to get from them. It doesn't matter if one of the teams is terrible. It doesn't matter if the other team is great. This is always a good matchup, and I think this is going to be a battle. I think this is actually going to be a defensive battle, but the offense is going to be whoever makes the biggest key plays towards the end of the game. And I'm going to lean towards Jordan Love and the Packers offense in this one over the Vikings. I think the Vikings have way too many questions, especially at the quarterback position. But like I said, I feel like this is going to be more of a defensive game with Jordan Love getting the best of the Vikings towards the end of the game. And I've got the Packers winning a close one 20-14. Then we have the Miami Dolphins at the Las Vegas Raiders. Right now, the Raiders are a 3.5-point favorite. This is also another garbage can game against two crap bag teams. So I'm just really going with the Raiders 17-13 just because they're the home team and they're slightly better roster-wise than the Dolphins, but I don't know. They're both garbage cans, so wouldn't be shocked if that went in a tie, to be quite frank. Then we have the Washington, we have the Washington Commanders at the Philadelphia Eagles. Another solid division battle to start the season. Right now, the Eagles are a 4.5-point favorite. I think both of these teams are going to be garbage this year. I don't really believe in either team. The Eagles, they traded away A.J. Brown, who's been a huge, huge part of this offense, huge part of this team. And yes, they still have Saquon Barkley and Devontae Smith out there, but I just think taking away A.J. Brown was a big deal because he made some big plays in the key moments that mattered. Washington is a terrible team, though. I don't think this team's going to be good at all. They don't have a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball. So I'm leaning towards Philadelphia in this one. I do think it's going to be a close game, but I've got the Eagles winning 23-20. And then our Sunday night football matchup, the Dallas Cowboys at the New York Giants. Right now, the Cowboys are a 2.5-point favorite, and I am so ready for this season to start because, as you know, I picked my Dallas Cowboys to win it all this year, so you know I've got some high expectations for them. And I think this is just going to be a nice way to start the season. I think the Giants are a garbage can team, so I don't think it's going to be really that close of a game, honestly. I actually think the Cowboys are going to come out here and dominate this game for the most part. You know, Dak Prescott throughout his entire career has absolutely dominated all of the teams in the NFC East. So this is just another team that he's completely rolled over for many years now. And I think the Cowboys are going to easily win this one 27-13. And then, of course, we will talk about the Monday Night Football matchup on Monday's show. So we do have us a big college football matchup this weekend. And when I say big, it actually is a big one. I mean, we have a couple of good matchups this weekend, but we actually have a number one team versus a number four team. And it is here in Austin, Texas this weekend. We have Ohio State coming to Austin, Texas to play the Texas Longhorns. Number one Ohio State, number four Texas. This is a great way to start the season. Now, I also have high hopes for the Texas Longhorns this year. They should be one of the top contenders all season, and if they're not, it is a failure of a season. We've got a stacked-ass roster, and it's not even just Arch Manning. This defense ain't nothing to fuck with, and that's actually what I think is going to be the difference in this one. I'm super shocked. I was looking at who's favored. My Longhorns are favored by 1.5 in this one. Super shocking because Ohio State's a really damn good team. They're not ranked number one for a reason, but they're coming here to Austin, and this defense for the Texas Longhorns is just so good, and I think that's what's going to be the deciding factor in this one. I won't be surprised if it's like a defensive play that really ends the game, like a interception or a sack, big-time fumble for even a touchdown, something like that. I do expect Arch to have a good game in this one as well. I mean, last year, he basically laid an egg in the big games, and that's not what you want to do. I feel like he's going to bounce back this year, have a nice game. I do think it's going to be a close one. I do not expect Texas to roll in this one. I'm looking at this to be a battle, like I said, all the way down to the fourth quarter. Wouldn't be shocked if it ends on like a big defensive play. I'm going to go with like a a strip sack fumble for a touchdown, and that's how the Longhorns win it. That's what I'm going to call it as. But I do have the Longhorns winning a close one, 35-31. But yeah, looking forward to that one. That's going to be a good-ass game. But what sucks about this is if you lose, you got that stain on so early in the season. But the good thing with the college football playoff, though, is it's not like the BCS Bowl years ago when it was like if you lost one game, you were fucked. Not anymore, but still, you don't want to lose these early games. And so I am definitely looking forward to this weekend's game against Ohio State. So let's move on to baseball and see where we are at currently with the playoffs, because we are right around the corner. We are only a couple weeks away from playoff baseball beginning. So let's start off with the American League and see how everything's going there. Number one overall seed would be the Tampa Bay Rays. Right now they are holding down the American League East Division. They have a 3-game lead over the New York Yankees, and I just really don't see them losing that grip. I mean, the Yankees, they did get Aaron Judge back, so that's great for them. But even with Aaron Judge, the Tampa Bay Rays were still playing great baseball, and I just kind of feel like they're going to continue to dominate that division. Then the number two overall seed right now in the American League would be the Chicago White Sox. They right now lead the Central with a 1.5-game lead over the Cleveland Guardians, and they really should not overlook the Guardians, because the Guardians are that team who have always been known to make that late season run with the last couple of weeks of the season, and all of a sudden, there they are, not as a wild card, but as the division winner. So the Chicago White Sox better watch out with the Guardians. But even so, the White Sox have been the most consistent team in the Central this year, and I just really like this roster. I really like this team. So I kind of feel like the White Sox are going to hold on to it, but they need to be on alert with the Guardians. Then the number three overall seed in the American League right now would be the Houston Astros. They currently hold a 3-game lead over the Texas Rangers, and they are widening that gap. I mean, the Astros, I think they've got this division locked down as well. Like I said, this team knows how to win this time of year. With Yordan playing at the level he's playing right now, and then you also have Altuve having a great year. They're getting a lot of guys back from injury. I just don't really see any team in the West even having a chance with the Astros, and every game, they're just, like I said, widening that gap against the Rangers. And the Rangers really, they haven't been consistent at all. So I definitely have the Astros winning that division. And then the wild card spots in the American League right now are held by the New York Yankees, the Boston Red Sox, and the Cleveland Guardians, with the Toronto Blue Jays, the Texas Rangers, and the Baltimore Orioles all on the outside looking in. And to be quite frank, I kind of feel like those first two wild card spots, the Yankees and the Red Sox, are already taken. So I kind of feel like it's that last wild card spot in the American League that's up for grabs. With Cleveland, Toronto, and Texas and Baltimore, they're all kind of stacked in there. But then, you know, like I just said about Cleveland, don't be shocked if that's the team that makes it in last, because they're just always known to do that towards the end of the season. Then turning to the National League and the way the playoff picture is looking for the National League, right now the number one overall seed would still be the Milwaukee Brewers, first team to 90 wins this season as well. And they currently hold a 10-game lead over the Chicago Cubs. So to me, it's just obvious that the Brewers are easily winning this division. I kind of feel like the Brewers are easily the number one overall seed. And I'm becoming more and more of a believer in this team, which is really shocking, because I've been kind of writing them off all season. And now that we're getting closer to the playoffs, I'm looking at them like, man, this team does not let up. Watch out for them come playoff time. And then the number two overall seed right now would be the Los Angeles Dodgers. Right now they hold an 11-game lead over the San Diego Padres. I already knew the Dodgers were going to take that division. There's no questions that that's going to happen, because San Diego. And then the Diamondbacks are, I think, like 12 games out. Like, they are going to come back either. It ain't happening for either of those teams. And then the number three overall seed would be the Atlanta Braves. They currently hold a 4-game lead over the Philadelphia Phillies. And it's kind of the same thing with the Braves, how it is with, like I was talking about with the Astros and the Rangers. The Braves just keep widening the gap. It feels like every time the Phillies kind of get in reach, the Braves just kind of keep pushing them back. And I just feel like the Braves are going to easily take this division. Then the wild card spots right now in the National League are held down by the Philadelphia Phillies, the Chicago Cubs, and the San Diego Padres, with the Arizona Diamondbacks, the Pittsburgh Pirates, and the Miami Marlins on the outside looking in. And really, it's basically just between the Padres and the Diamondbacks here, because I kind of feel like the same thing with the American League as the National League. These first two wild card spots are held down by the Phillies and the Chicago Cubs. And the Diamondbacks, I think, are 1.5 games or one game out from the Padres. And then when you go to the Pirates and the Marlins, they're like 4.5 and 5 games out. And when you're that far out at this time of year, it really is difficult to kind of make it up there. So I kind of feel like this last wild card spot is going to be a battle between the Padres and the Diamondbacks because they're obviously not winning the division. And it's going to be interesting to see because, you know, I think they have one more series at least against each other here towards the end of the year. And that could be basically the difference between who ends up going to the playoffs and who doesn't. And they're very similar teams, too. They're both teams that are capable of getting really hot, but also really falling back at the wrong time as well. So that's how the baseball playoff picture is looking right now. And it is just crazy to think that we've got baseball playoffs right around the corner. But it's a great time of year because now we have football season and baseball season. You got college football rolled in there. And then basketball season's only a month away as well, so it's going to be just sports all in your motherfucking face, and I am here for it. As long as we don't have Auntie Boring Fat Cunt boring me before every motherfucking game. If you want to get me to stop watching football, that is a fantastic way to do it. Bring out Auntie Boring Fat Cunt from last night in Melbourne, and I will immediately change the fucking channel. But enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.